Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is a beautiful April 17th, 2021. Coming up the podcast, episode 117, Two Sides of the Same Tainted Coin. That's right. Our leaders are at it again with more restrictions, more lockdowns, and more taxes. More beautiful taxes. All that and more coming up to the show. Stick around.
Hit it, sweetheart. Because I am hard, you will not like me. There is no racial bigotry here. Here you are all equally worthy.
From Western Canada, this is the Krusty Canuck Podcast, a Canadian veteran's point of view on political, social, economic issues, and life. Here's Krusty.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, listener discretion is advised. I use big, bad, nasty words here in the podcast. So if you don't like hearing bad words and swear words, this podcast is not for you. And if you like what you hear and see, please click like, subscribe, and share this all around your social platforms. Help us independent folk get the word out, get the algorithm going, and help us spread the word of common sense, wisdom, and freedom. All right, so as I said, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Two sides of the same tainted coin. In the news recently, Mr. Doug Ford, the Premier of Ontario, Canada's highest populated province, is now instilling more restrictions on the people of Ontario, especially in regards to going outside on a regular basis. According to the CBC and the Canadian Press, this just in, this was written about not even 2 hours ago. Ontario walks back a new pandemic police powers. Oh, that's right, that's the wrong story. This is the right story here. Yes. What will Ontario do now? Back that there, yes. Ontario Premier Doug Ford announced new public health measures on Friday that tighten the stay-at-home order already in place that include new restrictions and travel between provinces. The stay-at-home order will be first imposed April 8th, was first imposed April 8th for 4 weeks, and now be extended till May 20th. I think just in time for the May 2-4 weekend. Yay! That's if people are allowed to go out or not. According to the provincial government, the new measures are intended to curb the rising number of COVID-19 cases as the third wave of pandemic continues. All that means there are new limits on what residents can and cannot do. Here are some answers to questions you might have. Can we go for a walk? Yes, it's in the regulations. The government says an outdoor recreational amenity, that is a park or recreational area, may be open for the purposes of permitting persons to walk through the park or recreation area. So you can walk like a zombie, talk like a zombie, act like a zombie, but still, more restrictions and regulations. Can I go with a walk with a? Can I go for a walk with a friend? Interesting. This question is trickier, according to the Ontario government. Government says in its regulations that any person who uses outdoor parks and recreation areas, off-leash dog areas, or benches in parks and recreational areas shall maintain a physical distance of at least 2 meters from any other person who is also using the amenity. We can't speak English today. Anyway, using the walkway. Other than a person who is a member of the same household, a member of one another household who lives alone, or a caregiver for any reason of either household. So more or less, you know, be careful with strangers. The government's looking out for you. Oh, can I gather with people outside my household? No, there's a big no there. Unless you live alone, and then you can gather with only one other household. The province said in a news release on Friday that it has prohibited, quote-unquote prohibited, all outdoor social gatherings and organized public events except for with members of the same household or one other person from outside that household who lives alone or a caregiver for any member of the household. Can I take my dog off leash at the dog leash park? Yes, but you have to maintain a 2 meter distance for anyone who is not a member of your household and who is not a caregiver of a member of your household. Stranger danger. Oh my goodness. Can my children play at the playground? Initially, the province said all outdoor playgrounds, play structures, and equipment were not to be used, but in a tweet on Saturday afternoon, Ford said the government will roll back restrictions on playgrounds to allow their use. Okay, kids, stranger dangers, play on the swings, whatever you want to do. Mr. Brampton Mayor, Mr. Patrick Brown, you know, the guy who was playing hockey last year and Rebel News caught him, you know, rules for thee and none for me kind of thing. Yeah. Thank the province for pledging to amend its regulation on playgrounds, saying in a tweet, common sense wins today. Well, too bad common sense didn't win for you there, Buckeye. Crack, don't smoke itself. Dr. Isaac Bogach, an infectious disease specialist based at Toronto General Hospital, said Saturday that province should be encouraging people to go outside. Bogach is also a member of Ontario's COVID-19 vaccine distribution task force. It's good for physical health. It's good for mental health, especially with all other horrible things that are going on in the middle of the third wave. Being outdoors is probably one of the best things you can do, Bogach said. It's pretty clear that the outdoors is probably the safest place you could be during this course of a pandemic. We know that the risk of transmission outdoors is not 0%, but it's getting close. It's really, really low risk. Another question is, can we play on a golf course? Big fat no. Can I play tennis at the basketball and basketball at a court? No. And you cannot use any amenities such as those platform tennis tables or table tennis or pickleball courts or tetherballs, I guess. Can I play baseball at a diamond? No. Can I enjoy a skate park or a BMX park? No. And you can't play frisbee golf either at such a location. It's like you're negotiating something for your lunch money, for God's sakes. Oh, can I have a picnic at a picnic table? No, you can't. A picnic table is considered an outdoor amenity. Oh, my God. Can I go shopping freely? In all retail settings where in-store shopping is permitted, capacity limits are 25%. These retail settings include supermarkets, grocery stores, convenience stores, indoor farmers markets, and other stores that primarily sell food, and pharmacies. All other public health and workplace safety measures for non-essential retail under the provincial emergency break will continue to apply. See, that's what gets me. So you can't play frisbee, you can't play basketball, can't play tennis because, you know, you're breathing heavy and you're sweating. Oh, my God, you're outside enjoying yourself. But you can go to all these shop stuff like that, you know, Costco, Walmart, farmers markets, you know, keep some of the economy going, right? Well, oh, my God. And then there's all these other lists of what's essential, what isn't essential. Like I said in my last couple episodes, we're all essential, ladies and gentlemen. How many can gather at religious services, weddings, and funerals? Effective 12:01 a.m. Monday, only 10 people will be allowed to gather at religious services, weddings, and funerals, whether indoors or outdoors. So even outside, if you celebrate a wedding or a passing of a loved one. Oh no, only 10 years can show up because of just that risk is just too high. Oh yes, yes. What about people trying to enter Ontario? Beginning on Monday, Ford has said there will be checkpoints at provincial borders with Quebec and Manitoba. There will be checkpoints, yes, that's right, at the borders. So in Dryden, Ontario, get your papers. You know, in Hawkesbury, in Perth, in Ottawa, you get your papers. You have all, make sure you're not going to Quebec or Manitoba. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, of course, there'll be exceptions for essential travel. We'll see. The provincial police has provided some clarity. Those not traveling for essential reasons will not be refused entry. There are exceptions for work, medical care, transportation of goods, and exercising a treaty of rights for Indigenous persons, the OPP said in a statement on Friday, so yesterday. However, on Saturday, the OPP spokesperson said it continues to work out its logistics and details. Right. Under the regulation dated Friday, April 16th, the Ontario government provided a list of reasons outlining when a person can enter Ontario from Manitoba or Quebec. The government has not yet responded to a CBC News request for information about whether people can leave Ontario and if they will face restrictions when trying to do so. Yeah, so this is what gets me, folks. More of this panic, more of this legislation, more of this, okay, more of the good idea fairies coming around telling us again what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. Okay, I guess Doug really wants you to start eating that cheesecake, hey? Sit around, feel sorry for yourself, get fat. And then, of course, blame yourself for not complying to the so-called phantom restrictions.
Stay updated and follow Krusty Canuck on Facebook, Twitter, Gab, Telegram, YouTube, and Podbean. Subscribe today and donate at KrustyCanuck.ca.
Yes, carrying on. Two sides of the same tainted coin, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't matter if you're a liberal, doesn't matter if you're conservative, NDP, provincial or federal. There's too much of this BS going around, even here in Alberta. You know, contemplations of restrictions. Jason Kenney was quoted saying, we're not going to mess with religious rights. And yet, however, he stood idly by and watched the Grace Life Church get boarded up, or not boarded up, fenced up, and having about 200 police officials hanging around, making sure people don't violate their curfew or COVID restriction. Now, we're all seeing a contradiction Canada-wide here. Doesn't matter. Federal, provincial, and in some cases municipal-like. And it's getting fucking ridiculous, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't matter. Like, regardless of how bad this pandemic is or how We're told it is, okay? Everything is being politicized to its fucking hilt in regards to this. The speculation on how this issue is hurting these type of people and the speculation that's hurting those type of people. We know it's a respiratory infection. It's affecting people, okay? And these laws and legislations that keep being thrown down our throats, it's not just affecting a small group. It's affecting people, all people, everybody, okay? But we're also seeing favorites being pulled here and favors being pulled there and persecution of Christians. And I've yet to see any persecution of certain Muslim factions, okay? And in no way, ladies and gentlemen, am I trying to slam any faith or am I trying to slam any kind of religion? But where are the closures there, okay? We're not hearing about closures on synagogues and on mosques, okay, or other places of worship. We're hearing about one church or two churches or three churches here, okay? And I just read to you a standard that the Ontario government wants to maintain, right? But we're not hearing anything about other religious groups being persecuted in this country. And we should. We should. We should be seeing and hearing what's going on with all people, regardless of what narrative that the media wants to spin or not, right? And whether the media wants to keep people down, right? I'm not keeping my head down. Well, I sat with my wife there today, and we watched a rerun of His Royal Highness's funeral, Prince Philip's funeral. And it was sad. I admit, it was sad. It was sad because where I grew up and the information I was told, and, you know, I remember seeing the picture of the Queen in our arena when we'd stand for O Canada. I remember being in the military and honoring Her Majesty and basically everything royal because Canada's part of the Commonwealth and all that good stuff. To my American listeners out there, we still have a lot of ties with Britain on the sake of politics, our parliamentary system, how we praise Her Majesty. A lot of points I don't agree with anymore personally because I kind of grew out of it. But in the same sense, it's part of a tradition in our country. And it was a sad thing to see. You know, apparently Prince Charles did some incredible work for a lot of Commonwealth nations. I guess he had a fondness for the Canadian military because of what he witnessed in his time in the Royal Navy, how he worked with Canadian troops, all that good stuff. But that's a history lesson for another time. Needless to say, you know, you watch the Queen sitting there in that little pew in St. George's Cathedral and just kind of head down, quiet, nothing really to say. You know, she's with this guy for the better part of 73 years, and now he's gone. So you kind of feel bad. Just out of respect and understanding of the tradition we've had with the royal family in this country. But with saying that, we're also missing respect and tradition that we have looking after other Canadians. We also miss the respect and traditions we have when looking after our fellow citizens in the time of need. And especially with elected officials taking the reign, calling the shots when it comes to not procuring the vaccines properly. And not requiring or inquiring about the logistics to back up said vaccines or the information to give to the general public when it comes to actually being safe from said issue, i.e., okay, we can still go to stores and carry on and wear masks. But no, let's panic and lock everything down. Which brings my next part of the story of Mr. Doug Ford, like I mentioned earlier there too. He mentioned he wanted to give the police extra powers when it comes to stopping people and checking them out and all this good stuff. You know, more or less, what are you doing? Where are you going? What's your business? Hello, you got your papers? Jawohl. Yeah, very totalitarian. Anyway, stepping back on that, this was written about an hour ago. From the Canadian Press, Toronto, Ontario walks back new pandemic police powers following widespread backlash. Toronto, Ontario reversed course on sweeping new police powers Saturday, just one day after Premier Doug Ford announced the measures that triggered a swift and furious backlash. See, that's what gets me. You're representing your people. You should not backlash anybody. You should not be giving them a fucking hard time, right? Oh, but what do I know, right? Jesus Christ. Officers will no longer have the right to stop any pedestrian or driver to ask why they're out or request their home address, Solicitor General Sylvia Jones said in a written statement this Saturday evening. Instead, she said police will only be able to stop people who they have reason to believe are participating in organized public event or a social gathering. As the number of people infected with COVID-19 in hospital reaches record levels, Ford tweeted that another of the measures would be also reversed. Ontario's enhanced restrictions will always intend to stop large gatherings where spread can happen, Ford said. Our Regulations will be amended to allow playgrounds and gatherings outside will still be enforced. Civil libertarians and pundits attack new anti-pandemic restrictions announced Friday as Ford as misguided, saying the added police powers aimed at enforcing the stay-at-home orders were overkill, and rightfully so. Of course, Kane Civil Liberties Association welcomes Saturday's reversal. That's the only time they've actually said a peep during this whole time, by the way. New order rationalizes and narrows the unconstitutional Friday standard. The new standard is also tied to public health objective and avoids arbitrary detention, said Michael Bryant, executive director of the CCLA. Ahead of the reversal, large and small police forces across the province said they had no intention of exercising their newfound powers. And rightfully so. Rightfully so. You know, if a cop sees you doing something bad, he or she is going to stop you from doing that. But if you're just walking with your wife or walking with a loved one or walking with your kids, think about this situation for a second. You're just walking about minding your business. You get stopped by the police. Let me see your ID. What are you doing out here? What are you doing? What's going on? Like, think about that. For any kind of government to sit there and to promote that kind of crap, I think is really offhand. Anyway, I'll post the story into my description there too. All my links will be in my description, ladies and gentlemen. Every link and every gesture. Anyway, here's a word from my sponsors.
In October of 2015, Lindsay Robbins, like many of her fellow Canadians, was struggling with the turmoil of mental illness. The ups and downs of what she was going through was shaping her realities, and she longed for structure. As luck would have it, that structure presented itself to her in the form of gardening. And through gardening, Lindsay had an awakening that led her to create Produce for Heroes. Lindsay realized that our veterans were going through their own mental struggles, and through her own experience, she realized the power of community. By desiring to help the way that she had been helped, she has created a program that provides relief to veterans. Her food program, which aims to provide veterans and their families relief from the stresses of food insecurity and help alleviate the cost of living for those that have sacrificed so much for their country. Whether it's through directly contacting Produce for Heroes or through a friend's referral, all veterans and their families living in Canada are welcome. By shining a light on the struggle of veterans and their families, Lindsay is hoping to get her fellow Canadians to hop on board and support Produce for Heroes and our great veterans. If you or a veteran you know needs help, produceforheroes.com is a great place to start.
This is Brian Boucher, the new CEO of Kanawha Gold Corp. We have gold at 99% purity with discounts ranging from $100 up to $200 off the ounce. This is the right place to buy, from 2-gram cards to 400-ounce bricks. We have any quantity of gold you are looking for. We also sell by the ton, not like your ex-wife. Visit us today at canadgold.com, C-A-N-U-N-D, gold.com.
Well, smack my ass and call me Judy.
Stay updated and follow Krusty Canuck on Facebook, Twitter, Gab, Telegram, YouTube, and Podbean. Subscribe today and donate at KrustyCanuck.ca.
Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. Please consider donating today. Help me make this job a full-time commitment, but without your support and the gracious listeners I have out there, this job would be a little irrelevant. So please consider donating. And I'll also put in my donation link there too. I'm part of the Supercast format as well. So for $5 a month, join me on Supercast and you'll get uncensored content from me all the time. I had a talk with the owners and operators of said Supercast and they've been more than willing to give me a hand and help me out, but I need viewers and listeners such as yourself to join the page and donate and subscribe to today. You'll get Krusty Canuck uncensored, all the dialogue, everything without worrying about political or social, or hurt feelings, and all that other good stuff. So please, consider Supercast today. And we're carrying on. Two sides of the same coin. Now, Mr. O'Toole has been in news. Yes, Mr. Aaron O'Toole, PC leader extraordinaire of Her Majesty's opposition on the Canadian Parliament. Yes. Basically backstepping, too, on the whole carbon tax issue. Now, I don't have the whole story, but what I read and what I've seen on CTV and other news outlets, even though I sucked it up, sucking it back, the mainstream media narrative, oh, God, it was horrible, but still. Listening to him talk about his climate plan. Now, basically what he is, he's not going to get rid of what he's saying. Anyway, he's not going to get rid of the carbon tax. Instead, he's going to use the tax as a credit system. Basically, every time you pay your tax, that'll be money put aside for you to purchase something green, i.e. a bicycle, or energy-efficient windows, or energy-efficient this, or any kind of incentive to do the green lion fucking machine. So basically, he sidestepped the whole issue. Now, a year ago, I remember him saying, and a lot of federal conservatives were saying that too, that they were going to abolish the carbon tax. Get rid of it. And really, rightfully so. Because how can you tax a country into saving the world or controlling the weather or controlling the climate or trying to fix the climate? How can you do that? And I've said this numerous times before on the podcast. What incentives have been laid out for the people like you and me? What incentives out there? Are they encouraging us to recycle? Well, they've encouraged us to plant a couple of trees. Well, that's a piece of piss. You can go to any nursery, buy a couple evergreen trees, and then plant them. Voila, carbon footprint annihilated. Are they encouraging any kind of growth, i.e., let's say hemp, for example? We all know that hemp is a good thing because not only can you make one or two products out of hemp, you can make a few products out of hemp. One, it can provide you food, protein. Hemp hearts are excellent for you. Doesn't matter if you're vegan, doesn't matter if you're a carnivore. Hemp hearts provide excellent fucking protein for your diet. In every aspect of it, you can put it in bread, you can put it in pastries, you can put it in your salads, you can put it in your soups, in your stews, everything. Gives you an extra kick of protein, and it's natural, good plant protein that's good for the human body. Two, you can also make fuel from hemp, right? It can help with biodiesel. Three, you can make bricks out of hemp, right? Clothing. Right? So there's four things you can make out of one crop that could do a wonderful thing for you. Is there any incentive in that, though? Are they going to make hemp farms with all the carbon tax they earn? All the revenue they make, right? Anytime you say a levy or they're going to charge you extra money for turning on the lights or heating your home, because this winter has proven enough, ladies and gentlemen, especially out here in Alberta, okay, what winter has done to the Canadian taxpayer, right? I look at my home heating bill there last month and I'm like, holy shit. I would say there's about a 30% increase alone, just what we used last month, let alone the whole winter, right? Gearing up for the carbon tax, right? Another 5 cents to the pumps because of Justin, okay? Another 5 cents because of this, another 6 cents because of that, or 7.5 cents, or whatever fucking math model they keep throwing down our throats, which is more taxes. I'm a little annoyed, too, that Mr. O'Toole, who bragged himself to be Mr. Veteran, who bragged himself to be one for the people, is just going to carry on with the whole Trudeau mandate and the mantra of the 2030 deadline, right? So, no, he didn't move the goalposts. He just made the goal even smaller, right? So instead of abolishing the tax and coming up with a better solution that we, the taxpayers, can actually try to promote, i.e., self-sufficiency. I'm having trouble speaking English tonight. What's wrong? Too much tax. Anyhow, you know, there's schematics online you can buy and you can find where you can build kits to build your own hydroelectric, i.e. wind power, solar power, to generate heat and hydro for your own home. Now, it may cost a lot to get started, but it pays for itself in the long run. Where's the incentive for Canadians to do that, right? Where's the incentive for Canadians, let's say, to try their own biodiesel or invest in kits or conversion kits to help people transition rather than, well, okay, you pay the tax to us and we'll save it for you, quote unquote. Gee, does that sound shady? I know, you tell me.
Stay updated and follow Krusty Canuck on Facebook, Twitter, Gab, Telegram, YouTube, and Podbean. Subscribe today and donate at KrustyCanuck.ca.
Anyway, carrying on, ladies and gentlemen, with the two sides of the same tainted coin, or two sides of the tainted coin. Doesn't matter if you're green or blue or orange or green or pink or purple or fuchsia. It doesn't matter. They're all vying for power. Now, it's obvious that a federal election is in the works. Doesn't matter if it's going to happen in June or September. Okay, all these propositions and proposals, it's like both sides are flailing. You know, oh, I can do this better, or we can do this better, or we can keep this, but let's call it a different name. Instead of a tax, let's call it a levy. Instead of a tax, let's call it a savings account. Instead of a tax, let's call it building back better. Ironic how it comes back to that now, doesn't it? Eh? Okay, as a member of the Veterans Coalition Party, and a possible candidate to run in my area, I don't buy that Build Back Better for one fucking second. What I buy, though, is let Canadians build it together. And let Canadians build it their own way. Right? Let Canadians build it to what they want. Okay? Let's stop worrying about the pandemic and start worrying about the future. Okay? We can still go to stores and shop and trade and commerce. Sure, wear your mask. Do some subtle social distancing. But in the same sense, let people be. There's a simple idea. There's some common sense. Oh, no, we can't have that because we have to incorporate more fear. And it doesn't matter if you're liberal, doesn't matter if you're conservative or NDP or green. It's all about saving the trees and keeping your mouth shut, right? Is that the logic we have to live with now? I love trees. I love the rivers. I love the mountains. I scuba dive. I like hikes. I like camping. You know, I like going outside. I like doing things. But now, according to Ontario standard, you can't do that. Now, I haven't seen anything being passed yet by the Alberta legislation, but in the same sense, maybe it's creeping, maybe it's coming. We don't know. But it's getting to a point where people are getting backed into corners, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, really getting backed into corners, and for what? For what purpose? Right? Because now, every time you want to hear or you want an answer from our leaders, and it doesn't matter if it's in your riding provincially or in your riding federally, or if it's provincial leaders or federal leaders alike, this is what you get from them.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. I have an infection in my ear. Oh.
Yeah, kind of that pompous little response. Oh, right? That whole giddish, pompous little fucking douchebag responses. The kind of responses that Monty Python used to make fun of all the time. You know, upper class tweet of the year. Yeah. It seems like every time we turn around, there's always something in the way of this, right? Which brings me to a point, too, about this anti-lockdown caucus. And good for them, rightfully so. Rightfully so for these politicians speaking out against some of these lockdowns who know that the terms and everything else being unfair, everything from Randy Hillier to Mr. Bamber in Ontario to Derek Sloan to some MLAs out here in Alberta. It's quite the extensive list, and I'll leave a link in the description for you guys to follow, too. I'm going to try to get one of them on my podcast there sometime in the next couple of weeks if I can, just to get some better ideas across the table, you know, kind of like the Hands Across the Water tune by Paul McCartney, right? Understanding things. But needless to say, ladies and gentlemen, people are starting to see the light, and more people are getting out in the public to start fighting for the light, right? Which reminds me, too, thank you once again to everybody who listened to or who took part in the Thursday fastball I had with Mr. Pastor Artur Pawlowski, survivor of communism, Polish immigrant, pastor, humanitarian, the man who went and fed people and was penalized by the Calgary authorities, and not just by the police services, but by City Hall. Well, interesting how City Hall and councillors and wardsmen alike are trying to penalize a guy from showing some humane effort and tactics, some human kindness, and they turn around and penalize him for it. I had a great talk with Arthur there, some great, great history lessons, and overall good conversation. So if you haven't seen it yet, it's on my live stream feed, Thursday Fastball with Arthur Pawlowski. Great guy, and I highly recommend you check out his websites and everything too. Just a down-to-earth Christian. Now, I'm not saying I'm a believer. I'm not a religious person, ladies and gentlemen, but I would love to sit and have a coffee with him and just talk more in person about life, mysteries, how we can be better to each other, all that good stuff. And this guy lives it. He does it every day. He's got a lot of volunteers that help him out, and he helps the people. And just an all-around good character. So thank you once again to everyone who's tuned into that show. A great time doing it. And please stay tuned to this Sunday, 24 hours from now. Or 20-odd hours, yeah, sorry. For the Sunday Fastball, I host with Adam Daniel Mazzei. We go over weekly topics, politics, social issues, and all that kind of stuff, and just sit and have like a roundtable discussion on things that matter and find viable solutions to said problems, too. So please tune into that and stay tuned to my community page and on YouTube and my community page or update page on Facebook, too, for updates galore. So keep yourself informed there. And I'm working on getting some other social platforms in the works too. Like say I'm on Gab, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Telegram as well, and on the social. And I'm also working on getting a Rumble and a BitChute account as we speak. So pay attention to that. Let's just look at Krusty Canuck in the near future as well. Anyway, moving on. Again, two sides of the tainted coin. I was going to say something, tax, and taint, but, you know, I don't want to get to censors involved and have warning bells in my profile because I'm using a dirty word. But yeah, I think you get my point, right? We're taxed in heating. We're taxed in gasoline. We're taxed on certain food items. We're taxed on liquor, taxed on tobacco, taxed on everything else that we purchase, GST, HST, PST. Now, we don't have the HST or PST in Alberta, but a couple of provinces who have the harmonized sales tax end up paying about 18 cents or 14 cents, depending where you are, okay? And what gets me is all this debt that's been accumulated. We have a fish now is like Miss Little Freeland, the pint-sized you-know-what, talking about what a great opportunity this is going to be. Oh, what a great opportunity it is. Political opportunity. Yes, yes, to fuck Canadians up the ass even more. Oh, yes. Can you say throbbing gristle? Oh, my. It sounds like a really great time.
Stay updated and follow Krusty Canuck on Facebook, Twitter, Gab, Telegram, YouTube, and Podbean. Subscribe today and donate at KrustyCanuck.ca.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, back to Krusty Canuck Podcast. I'm your host, Krusty Canuck. And yes, two sides of the tainted coin. Anyway, this is the part of the show where it's where I like to introduce the Canadian polar vortex of bullshit.
The Canadian polar vortex of bullshit.
Yes, with due consideration and thinking in the past, you know, 12 hours or so in regards to what's going on. Today's winner of the Canadian polar vortex of bullshit goes to none other than Premier Doug Ford over his cheesecake bullshit and his panic pandemic garbage. This has been
the Canadian polar vortex of bullshit.
Congratulations, Premier Doug Ford. You're nothing like your brother. Anyway, moving on again. Two sides of the same tainted coin. What do we look at? What are we looking for? We're looking for leadership that's going to take responsibility for their BS. We're going to look for leadership that's going to look after the Canadian people to the best of their ability with peace, security, and freedom. The peace is still there. Security is well overdone. Is the freedom? Honestly, ask yourself that. Okay? A lot of us are in positions where we're looking for work. A lot of us in positions where we have to dip in our savings account. And more of our security is being compromised because of that. But then if we go outside and don't wear a mask or if we don't do this, then we have rules and regulations that are put in place based on fear, meaning people can call it in and rat on you, or they can tell on you if you're, you know, in a group bigger than 10 people. Is that fair? So all the Carls and Karens out there with their panties in a bunch can sit there and rat you out, rat on your neighbors, give you a hard time. Is that a good thing? Is that freedom? Is that security? Is that promoting peace? Right. Spencer Fernando wrote a great article about that, too, and I'll leave that in the link in the description, too, basically about how inept and how out of touch a lot of these leaders really, really are, especially when it comes to the global level, right? And how out of touch they are with us socially, too, right? We see their faces on television all the time, hear them on the radio, see them in the newsprint, see them online, in the media, saying this is good because, this is great because, right? Do they have restrictions, too? Right? They want to lock down the provinces. They want to... They're contemplating stopping people moving from province to province, yet there's still a lot of international flights come in, especially flights that come from other countries that have known to have higher infection rates. But no, no, no. If we stop this plane, oh, it's racist. Oh, if we stop this entry, oh, it's bigoted. It's xenophobic. And then you question these clowns. Of course, it's always xenophobic if you question them, or it's misogynistic, or it's terrible. It's just bad taste if you question your politicians. Oh, my goodness. Don't do it. Well, fuck that. Do it. Okay? Like I've said before numerous times, ladies and gentlemen, call your MPs, call your MLAs, call your MPPs. Let them know how you feel. Bombard their telephone lines. Actually, write them a letter. In fact, maybe type a letter out and give it duplicates. Email after email, letter after letter. Bombard them. Let them know you're pissed. Well, I, for one, want to find peaceful solutions to these ridiculous mandates. I want to find peace. I don't want to get things to get violent. I don't want my brothers to go through what our brothers and sisters in the States have gone through over every time some court proceeding goes wrong or some cop gets caught doing something stupid. We don't need riots. We don't need destruction of property. We don't need businesses to be burned and looted. The government's already done that enough with the regulations and restrictions, let alone strangers setting it ablaze and smashing windows. But I don't want to get to that point either, too, where people might have to start smashing some things and start damaging some things to get the point across, right? And I also want to give a hats off those individual police officers that said no to checking people out. And there's a story that Global put out there, I think today or yesterday, in regards to people protesting and how a cop was giving hugs rather than actually handing out tickets. And it's amazing how the mainstream media likes to put a spin on people that want to stand up for their rights and freedoms. And they want to make people look like fools. Way to go, Global, you bunch of wankers. You know, used to have respect for Global News, but not so much now anymore when they start pushing these mandates because their editors and producers want to go for ratings rather than facts. Shame on you. Fucking shame on you, big time. And we're carrying on, two sides of the same coin. We're not seeing much difference when it comes to federal leadership, too, when it comes to our taxes and where our money's going, right? Like I said, you want, of course, you know, potato puppet, you know, Prime Minister Pert Plus, and incorporating a second carbon tax, and now Mr. Aaron O'Toole calling it a carbon savings account.
Save for a rainy day in case you want to do something special for the environment. You know, buy that loved one a great bicycle or get that e-bike or get yourself those beautiful windows that cut cuss sound. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, wrong. All wrong in all levels. Here's an idea. How about let Canadians keep their money? Wow, what a concept. Ooh, shit, who would have thought of that? You know, other than the Canadian taxpayers. But, you know, I guess the Canadian taxpayers are always wrong in your eyes, eh? They're Buckeyes? Yeah, of course. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this has been another Krusty Connect podcast, episode 117. Wow, 117 episodes. Fantastic. Come a long way in the past couple of years, but it's because of viewers and listeners and my subscribers such as yourselves, my wonderful listener subscribers out there. Thank you very much to everyone who has tossed me a few emails in the past couple of weeks in regards to the pandemic, in regards to environmental suggestions, what we can do to get things together. And I'll even thank those individuals who sent me some hate mail too. Actually, 2 days ago, I come across something from Facebook. This clown wrote all these paragraphs for me about how Stephen Harper was such an evil man when it came to dealing with China and the United Nations, and how I'm a traitor for standing up against Trudeau and all this stuff. And just as I go to respond to this individual, I'm blocked. Interesting, eh? Maybe I'll read that. I actually printed it off, too, so maybe I'll read that for you next episode, or I might read it this Sunday on the Fastball, but we'll see. But yeah, it's quite interesting how people are willing to stand up and speak their mind, but then they'll hide away too. They won't stand their ground. Well, when I was taught how to debate in school, you listen to your opponent carefully. You listen to everything that he or she has to say. And then it's usually moderated, you know, a glorified word referee. But still, you debate points. And based on the audience reaction, you might get something good, you might get something bad. But either or, you debate, whether you're typing it or whether you're talking it, right? And to sit there and to say such heinous shit, and especially putting down our troops the way he did too, making fun of our military service, and yet sitting there praising the fucking toilet seat that this weird-ass Peter Pan prime minister has promoted. It's kind of self-explanatory what kind of a cult following that this guy has. Or maybe it's just a troll with nothing better to do except stir the pot because he got let down by his girlfriend. I don't know. Anyway, you figure it out. Anyhow, ladies and gentlemen, I have been Krusty Canuck on this beautiful 17th of April. Weather's nice. I'll probably take the dogs out for a little stroll, sit and watch some movies with my loving wife, and probably just call the night later on, too. Anyway, like I always say, do what you can to help each other out in these troubling times. Let's keep our chins up, folks. You know, use the old British adage. And another condolences to the royal family and the loss of H.R.H. Prince Philip. Not that the royal family's listening to this podcast, but my condolences, Your Grace, Your Majesty, my sincerest condolences. A figure of history is gone now, but better places for him. Like I say, look after your friends and loved ones, ladies and gentlemen. Do what you can to help each other out. In these trying times, stand high, stand proud, stand strong. And remember, humanity merit wins the day. Take care. And we'll see you tomorrow at the Fastball or some other time. Bye for now.
Hit it, sweetheart. Because I am hard, you will not like me.
Oh, yes, sir.
There is no racial bigotry here. Here you are all equally worthy.
This has been another episode of the Krusty Canuck Podcast. Stay sane and thank you for listening. From Western Canada, this is the Krusty Canuck Podcast.